From Capitol Hill, it's the Jordan Seculo Show. To get your question on the air, tweet Jordan at twitter.com/JordanSeculo. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
We know the issue of forced abortion is real. We know the issue of sex selective abortion. That's when a child is aborted because they happen to be, most of the time that happens to be because they are a female or a girl. And you can find that out now through medical procedures, not just in a highly developed world, but across the developing world as well. And there's a new book out. It caught my attention in the Wall Street Journal by Mara Vistendahl. And this book title, Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men, is about sex selective abortion, sometimes forced, happening throughout Asia, Eastern Europe, how that this phenomenon has led to, get this folks, over 160 million, what the author, she calls, missing girls. 160 million missing girls. Girls, primarily because of sex selective abortion, and this is all in the new book, Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. Now, before we have the author on today, Mara Vistendahl is not conservative in the sense that you're thinking about. She's not pro-life. She's not advocating an end to all of abortion in her book, and Wall Street Journal criticized her about that. And we're not going to focus on that with her because I want you to just to understand the facts. I know where most of you are on the life issue, and I think we can read someone's book who has put together all this information. We may not agree with her on a single issue, but this issue of sex-selective abortion, she was very tough on, is very tough on, in her book, groups like Planned Parenthood, the international abortion groups, for actually supporting this sex-selective abortion, for helping and assisting in these countries who have established these systems where sex-selective abortion is so prevalent. So she's been highly critical of the pro-abortion movement and or pro-choice movement in her book, though she is not necessarily coming on board with us fully on the life issue. She does mention stories in her book, and that's why I want you to get this book, and it's a really interesting read about scientists who were pro-abortion, thought they were pro-abortion, who would go over, do studies in these countries where this sex-selective abortion and forced abortion was happening, come back and have become, of course, pro-life advocates, completely changed their mind. So she doesn't pull any punches when she talks about this issue and the problem within some of the pro-abortion community as well. When I saw this on Wall Street Journal, I said, you know, I need to make sure our listeners and my listeners have an opportunity to hear from the author so that they can find out about this book. If you want to purchase it, you go to jordanseculo.com. We've got a link to it right now. Again, the book, Unnatural Selection. And folks, this is just one, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. The subheadline could be 163 million missing girls throughout the world just since the 1970s, folks. That's just in the last 40 years, 163 million missing girls. And these are just in the countries that have been studied. So we'll talk to Mara Vistendahl when we get back from this next break. I'm also going to talk about in the third segment, immigration. Why? Twice in the last week, I've been on Fox News discussing Georgia's immigration law. And there's always this critical debate of, is it the Christian thing to do to be tough on illegal aliens or illegal immigrants, or do we have to accept them? And this is a struggle going on right now in the emerging church and the traditional churches as well. We'll talk about that in the third segment of the broadcast and play some of that interview for you as well. But before we go to break, let me encourage you, check out jordanseculo.com if you want to purchase this book, Unnatural Selection. I encourage you to. It took me a couple days and I read through the entire thing before the interview. And folks, also check out Jordan, facebook.com/JordanSeculoShow. Click the like button. We really appreciate that. And to get your comments on there, facebook.com/JordanSeculoShow. As always, twitter.com/JordanSeculo so we can get to your comments on air. You're listening to The Jordan Seculo Show. Follow me at twitter.com/JordanSeculo. Welcome back to the Jordan Seculo Show. We are always looking for books that we want to recommend to you, something that's interesting, something that's different. And one of those, I was reading through the Wall Street Journal, actually, and I saw a new book that came out, Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. The author, Mara Vistendahl, is joining us now. And Mara, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jordan.
Let me ask you, in your book, I mean, the claim that has kind of gotten out there on the reviews about it, that there are over 160 million females, she put in, quote, missing, and mostly due to sex-selective abortion in Asia, specifically in Eastern Europe. Why did you decide, you know, this is a topic that needs to be researched and written about? Because the number is shocking, and I'm wondering why we haven't heard more about it.
Well, it's a huge issue in Asia where I've been living. I've been a journalist in China for over 5 years. And if you go to a certain part of the country, it's pretty obvious. You can just see, you go to an elementary school and you can see many more boys than girls. Sex selection's been happening now for over 30 years. And so that first generation, we have many more men than women. They're growing up and it's leading to all sorts of kind of secondary human rights abuses. Women being trafficked, being kidnapped, being bought and sold as brides. So it's a huge issue in Asia.
Yeah, I mean, for these issues that are, I think, you know, as a conservative, as someone who'd be on the pro-life spectrum, and I know the book is, and that's not the angle you're trying to get at, and I don't, you know, I'm not focusing on it because I think these issues are bigger than that these are issues we can all come together on the political spectrum, because this issue leads to trafficking, which we've worked on at our organization, and all of those different issues kind of combine, and it seems like stem from this. But, you know, we hear about the problem in China and India, but your book also talks about South Korea and Vietnam as well. What, you know, where are these gender imbalances happening? I mean, China obviously seems like the big one in India, but where else have you seen really the numbers that I think, you know, as reading through the book, very astonishing?
Not just South Korea and Vietnam, but also Taiwan, Albania, gender imbalance sex ratios in Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Armenia. This is a recent development. It seems that gender imbalance is spreading. And it's even spreading within China and India. So it started in urban areas, kind of paradoxically, among the wealthier and more middle-class people there, and now seems to be spreading to poorer areas, poorer parts of the countries.
You know, why is this happening? What was the cause from your research? And I mean, I want people to read the book, and folks, if you want to get a copy, jordanseculo.com, we've got the link, Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. We'll talk about those consequences in a couple of moments. But why did this start? What was the cause of gender imbalance? Is it different in each of these countries, or is there one theme?
Well, obviously, underlying is this very strong preference for sons. You know, on some level, people really want a boy. But that's not the full, that doesn't explain where imbalanced sex ratios crop up, because you have, you know, unfortunately, patriarchy in much of the world. But there are some things that Albania and China have in common. One is that the birth rate has fallen pretty dramatically. So whereas women may have had 5 or 6 children 40, 50 years ago, now they're just having 1 or 2. And that increases pressure on them to make one of those children a boy. And then there are a few other factors as well. New technology comes in. Abortion rates have contributed over the past few years, although abortion isn't the whole part of the story, which I make clear in my book. But those are some of the things that are happening.
You know, one of the issues that you talked about, and this is interesting to me, because we're probably coming at this from different sides of the spectrum on the abortion issue, is that you have some pro-life groups who have seized on this and members of Congress in the United States, but that the pro-abortion or pro-choice movement is a little bit tepid in getting involved in this, even though it's an issue, again, I think that is bigger than the debate over abortion, because you're talking about what should be a very easy human rights issue for everyone across the country. So what do you hope, what can come out of this? I mean, how can it seems like the movements like Planned Parenthood could have just as much impact in this, and maybe even more so than the pro-life movement.
Well, the politics behind why we haven't heard more about sex ratio imbalance and behind these abuse about these abuses that are happening in Asia is very complicated and involves both the right and the left. And I would like to see now both sides also take action. There are conservative groups that are passing bans on sex selective abortion in the U.S., and I think really the focus should be now on these abuses that are happening abroad and on getting more international attention for them. On the other hand, I would also like to see the left get more involved. It's a difficult issue to take on because for now it does involve abortion. But, you know, we're getting into an era where we can select for other traits as well, not just sex. And that's, you know, that's an issue of selection, not abortion. And that's something that really ultimately the pro-choice movement is going to have to confront.
So it's an ethical issue over in a science. You're a science writer as well. And maybe while we're talking about this, let me ask you about your background as well that led you to write about this so that people who are not familiar with your work before the book know where you're coming from.
Sure. Well, I studied Chinese. I grew up in a family with a background in China. I grew up with Chinese roommates, and I've spent most of the past decade in China, so my interest in this topic grew out of that experience. But then, you know, as I started looking into it, I started to wonder, well, why are we seeing the same problem crop up in countries with such different cultures? And in China, it's typically explained as a result of the one-child policy, but then, you know, India, you don't have such a policy, Albania, Vietnam. So I wanted to know what's happening there.
And there have been people, there's some disturbing stories in your book as well about some of the pressures that are put on women, whether it's the forced abortion issue or even sex selection culturally. And you mentioned it briefly when we began our discussion. I want to return to that, is the long-term implications of if this continues, if you have a gender imbalance like this, what it means for these societies and for other countries that may not have the problem, but of course in this globalized world where we deal with each other every single day, I mean, if someone has a major domestic problem, it affects another country as well.
That's true, and we've never really seen a gender imbalance on this level. 160 million females, and most of that generation is still young, so the big problems will come in the 2020s and 2030s. But we are starting to see some of the effects of men buying brides, increased sex trafficking. So the U.S. State Department now lists the sex ratio imbalance as one of the major causes of trafficking in Asia. And these are issues that the U.S. does work on and is involved with, and it will affect us in that way.
What's your hope for the book? I mean, that obviously it's spurned a discussion. I've seen, you know, from conservative world, the left, in the newspaper world, and in kind of the educational circles as well. And there are some on the left who have gone after you as well. I saw Richard Dawkins, who's a well-known atheist and scientist, kind of said that you were blaming science. But I wanted to know, what do you hope this book accomplishes? Obviously, the headline that comes out of it, that there's over 160 million missing females, is huge. But long term, what do you hope this does? I mean, I'll tell you, folks, this is not a tough read, like a book that's tough to get through. This is a really well written book that you should pick up. But I wanted to get your opinion on that, Mars. What you hope happens long term?
Well, thank you, Jordan. Richard Dawkins had based his criticism on a Guardian article, an article in the Guardian in the UK, which contained a number of errors. So I'm not sure that I've actually rebutted that criticism. But ultimately, I hope that we see much more international action on this issue. It's something that, some people have told me that they didn't realize that this was happening, and that's a shame, I think. I think more, it should be an issue, you know, much like other human rights issues that are kind of on the radar in the U.S., things like female genital mutilation. These are things we talk about, genocide in other countries. These are things that Americans care about and get involved in. And I hope that happens with sex selection as well.
Folks, I want everybody to get a copy of this book. You can do it at jordanseculo.com. Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. The author, Mara Vistendahl, has joined us now. Mara, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Folks, this was one, again, when I read about it, I said, you know what, we got to get this out to our listeners, and I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to read the book yourself. You may not agree with everything politically with Mara, where she is on the abortion issue, but that doesn't change the statistics, and she's very open and honest about how some of the people who were very pro-abortion have changed their opinions on it because of what they've witnessed in some of these countries. And, of course, the sex selection issue, which I think, and I agree with her, can be a bigger issue as well that we all unite around. But, unfortunately, you've seen silence from groups like Planned Parenthood. Maybe you're not surprised by that. Get this book, Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men. Mara Vistendahl, you can get it at jordanseculo.com. We come back from the next break. We're going to talk about this more because I think when we get this kind of information, it's not just to use it politically, but it is to understand the larger picture when we're fighting these battles, and whether it's a human rights issue, a new rights issue that we should be talking about. I want to make sure my listeners are very well informed. That's why I'm bringing on authors like Mara, and I hope you check out jordanseculo.com now and get your copy of the book. I'll save life. You're listening to The Jordan Seculo Show. Follow me at twitter.com/JordanSeculo. Welcome back to The Jordan Seculo Show. We have a lot to talk about in this segment, so let's get right to it. One, who we were talking, Mara Vistendahl in this book, Unnatural Selection. I really do encourage you to read it because it informs you, it gives you the statistics, and when you're talking about these issues like abortion, and if you're pro-life and you want more information about what's happening not just in the U.S. but internationally as well, this is a book that, regardless if you agree with her politics or her beliefs on the abortion issue, the facts are there. She doesn't make she doesn't cover those up. She exposes them. She talks about the pro-abortion movements kind of pushing or at least being silent on sex-selective abortion, really helping it start as a process. So I encourage you to get that book, Unnatural Selection. You can get linked to it at jordanseculo.com, to the Amazon site there, because if you look on Amazon on your own, there's a couple other books with a similar title. So make sure you go to jordanseculo.com and click on our link so you make sure you're getting the right book. Another one of these issues that I think really, it can divide folks and divide the Christian community as well, is immigration. And I've been on Fox News twice over the last week talking about Georgia's immigration law. And, of course, many states, Arizona being the most famous, Utah, Indiana, Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina now have introduced and signed, the governors have signed into law, very tough immigration laws that are being challenged in court, some by the Obama administration, some by the ACLU. Let's listen to the interview, and then, I want to discuss this issue more because I think the Christian community is fairly divided when it comes to enforcing the law against illegal aliens.
Georgia fighting back now after a federal judge's ruling to block parts of the state's tough new immigration law that was expected to go into effect in just days. The judge blocking parts of the law that would penalize people who transport or harbor illegal immigrants, and a provision that authorizes officers to verify the immigration status of someone who can't provide proper ID. Georgia's governor vowing now to appeal. Jordan Seculo, Director of International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, is my guest on this topic. Good to see you.
Thanks, Gretchen.
All right. So when I'm looking at what this judge threw out, what's left in this law? Anything?
Two big things are left. E-Verify, which requires employers in Georgia with more than 10 employees to run those employees through a federal system that was set up to use voluntarily. Arizona was the first state to say we're going to mandate corporations to do it. Georgia said we're going to mandate it if you have more than 10 employees. And that stands. And that stands because the Supreme Court just weighed in on that a month ago. It's still big news. Listen, the ACLU, the group challenging this law, the Obama administration, they're against that as well. So there still is a victory here for those who are support these kind of laws at the state level.
All right. Well, the Georgia governor, Nathan Deal, is not happy about the situation because he signed this into law in its entirety. Here was his quote. Curiously, the court writes, all illegal aliens will leave Georgia if the law is enforced, as if it is appalled at the thought of people attaining visas before coming to our nation. The federal court's ruling, however, will crystallize for Georgians and other Americans our underlying problem. Beyond refusing to help with our state's illegal immigration problem, the federal government is determined to be an obstacle. Georgians can rest assured that this battle doesn't end here. We will appeal this decision. Is he right?
He's absolutely right. I mean, this is a point we've gotten to in law where a judge, now this was a Clinton appointee, so a Democrat appointee, and I predicted early on in this one it would probably go this way, just like Arizona, Indiana, and Utah already have, but this is just the beginning of the legal process. But that statement is so ridiculous that that's part of the judge's reasoning, that people who are violating the law will leave if we enforce the law. This is the whole debate surrounding what do we do with immigration and illegal aliens when our federal government admittedly does not have enough resources to help the states, and then at the same time will step in to stop the states from being able to enforce the law. Make no doubt about it, the Obama administration is on the side of the ACLU here, just like they were in Arizona. They want to stop states from being able to enforce any of these laws. Thankfully, E-Verify is through. That's settled. And I do think long-term, this will get appealed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. The Georgia law is not as restrictive as Arizona's. I think it has a good chance when it makes its way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Interesting, because it's always, you know, it's a civil liberties group in this situation, too, that filed the lawsuit because they claim that it would encourage racial profiling. But here's my question for you. How does penalizing people who knowingly and willingly transport or harbor illegal immigrants while committing another crime, is that racial profiling?
Not at all. That doesn't have to do with whoever that person's race is. They still, by the way, in part of this law that was upheld, if you use false documents, you can go to jail, face fines of over $200,000. Those would be the people, by the way, that were of the origin of the countries that people would be suspecting of racial profiling. When it comes down to these people transporting, knowingly, inducing illegal immigrants to come and work at lower wages, somehow those people would be racial profiling. What the judge said here was that if we allow the law, local law enforcement, state law enforcement to do it, this will be a mini immigration system that will be established in Georgia. The truth is these people are committing crimes. That's why we have police, to stop crime prevention. We have a justice system to then punish those people who have committed crimes. These are not new crimes. They're all already on the books in the federal government, but they don't want the states enforcing it, even though they've admitted that they don't have enough resources to do the job. I mean, the whole issue is a major battle between the state and federal role in immigration.
So ultimately, do those four states cases all go to the Supreme Court together for an ultimate ruling, or what happens?
It could happen that way. Alabama, the ACLU is about to sue Alabama as well, which has a similar, probably the most stringent of those five now, and there's other states looking at it. So the court absolutely could put these cases together after the appeals process. And listen, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals is more conservative than the 9th Circuit where Arizona is. So they may say, you know what, we're going to reverse this injunction, let the law go into force. If they don't, still, this is only at the injunction level, no hearing on the merits. So it's a long way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Unfortunately for the people of Georgia and Arizona and Indiana and Alabama, if that lawsuit gets filed and an injunction gets issued, it will be, it could be years until they can start enforcing the laws against illegal immigration. The idea that it's a bad thing if people leave because we enforce the law is the entirely wrong way to look at illegal immigration. If we go down that path, we'll never win on this issue.
All right, Jordan Sekulow, thanks for explaining it. It's very complicated. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gretchen.
You know, folks, I play those interviews because, one, you're not all watching Fox News all the time. Two, not everybody's on Twitter yet where we post those videos, twitter.com/Jordan Sekulow, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/Jordan Sekulow Show. And to give you an opportunity to know that when we're talking about other issues here, we really do follow the legal issues happening across the country closely. And we're not just limited to the kind of typical social conservative issues. We are involved in the immigration issue, involved in the Arizona case. We understand the law, we can explain the law, we can defend the laws, and we can advocate for them as well. So I want to kind of give you a glimpse into kind of, you know, what we're doing here, especially if you missed the Fox News interview and if you're not following ACLJ.org or facebook.com/Jordan Sekulow Show or Twitter. And I really encourage you, folks, if you want to know when we're going to be on TV, whether it's me or my dad or someone else from ACLJ or on another radio show doing an interview, you need to sign up, twitter.com/Jordan Sekulow Show. And there is some breaking news to announce the last minute of the show today. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, the first court of appeals to issue a ruling on Obamacare, said that the individual mandate is constitutional. So a victory for Team Obama on this one, certainly not the end. Of course, there are cases, we have our own cases coming up through the appellate courts. This was the first one to weigh in. This was the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. This just is now breaking news, and so we can discuss this more later this week as well. On the broadcast, as always, we encourage you, twitter.com/JordanSeculo and facebook.com/JordanSeculoShow. I know I say it a lot, but help us get to 1,000 likes on Facebook, facebook.com/JordanSeculoShow. All you have to do is look us up and click the like button. And if you comment there, we'll get to those on air as well. facebook.com/JordanSeculoShow or twitter.com/JordanSeculo. We'll talk to you tomorrow.